Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
When did Democrats become so afraid of independent thought? Because they're definitely not encouraging it.
Explosive claims by State Representative Tricia Cotham, who switched parties this morning, giving Republicans the supermajority. More from her and a response from Democrats we're waiting for in a live news conference at any moment.
And another day of significant severe weather just to our west along this massive line of storms. I'll show you when it arrives here locally and who's under a threat for severe storms coming up.
Also, enough is enough. In just a few minutes, students in Durham plan to walk out of school in protest against gun violence.
We have a live look right there, and we are live on the ground with what they hope to accomplish out of that. It is a really big news day here at WREL. You're looking at a live picture here, the State Democratic Party headquarters in Raleigh, where we expect to get reaction at any moment to the volatile statements from Representative Tricia Cotham. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This morning, the Mecklenburg lawyer laid out her reasons for abandoning the Democratic Party to join the GOP. And among the reasons, Cotham says the Democrats tried to control her and they lacked vision to move forward in North Carolina.
So they can keep bullying me. People say, does it bother you? It bothers me that they're hypocritical. Yes. This is not the place for in politics. This doesn't help women in politics, because they have a tendency, even though they say they're the party of women, they certainly will slice and dice you in a second with malicious, vicious, untrue rumors, and do not celebrate your success.
Cotham also accused members of the Democratic Party of inciting violence against her and her sons. We'll have more on this top story throughout the hour. We are waiting on that news conference. We'll take you to it when it happens, and you'll have more coverage on WRL.com.
Well, we could come close to record highs here in Raleigh today, but change is most definitely in the air. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the summer-like forecast, but also that severe line of storms there, Kat.
That's the downside to these warm temperatures that we're seeing. They're going to energize the atmosphere. That'll be the case tomorrow, and that's the concern. That's why we've issued a WRAL weather alert day tomorrow. Look at this line of storms. So much lightning and tornado watches currently extend from Arkansas all the way up to Michigan. So this is a really powerful system that is coming our way. It will weaken some before it gets here, but today it's a level 3 out of 5 threat for severe weather for the areas in orange. By the time it closes in on us tomorrow, there is a level 1 threat. So it's not as widespread of a threat that we would see, but some damaging wind gusts and even some hail would be possible in a few storms. And this includes Durham, Chapel Hill, as well as Roxborough, up into Warren County, Mecklenburg County, Virginia, under the level 1 threat tomorrow. As of right now, Raleigh and Fayetteville not included, but you could still see some thunderstorms. These would come later in the day, though. Once we get to 3-4 o'clock, a few storms start to fire up and we have better coverage by the late evening. I'll outline those chances hour by hour on future casts coming up. Michelle.
All right. Thank you, Kat. Fed up with gun violence at schools, some local students are staging a protest.
WRL's Monica Casey is live at the Durham School of the Arts, where a walkout is underway right now. Monica.
Well, Jeff, this walkout will only last for about 10 to 15 minutes. But as you can see behind me, there are already dozens of students here participating. The administration tells me while this is a student-led walkout, it is supported by the principal and staff here. The students here are protesting gun violence in response to the Tennessee shooting. Last Monday, 6 people were killed inside a Nashville school. 3 9-year-olds, along with a school custodian, substitute teacher, and head of the school were shot and killed. The shooter there at the Covenant School was killed by police. Now, this is not the first time students in Durham have protested gun violence. Students at Hillside High School held a walkout last May after the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Now, we will be speaking with some of these students who are participating in this walkout, and we will have more coverage here of this event coming up later this afternoon. Jeff?
All right, Monica Casey live in Durham with that walkout. Thank you.
Well, state lawmakers are considering a bill named in memory of the Raleigh police officer who was killed in the mass shooting in the Headingham neighborhood 29-year-old officer Gabe Torres was shot on his way to work that day last October.
WRL's Matt Tallhelm was in a House committee meeting this morning where lawmakers started the process to close a loophole that prevents the Torres family from receiving state benefits. Matt?
A committee here at the state legislature is advancing on the Gabe Torres Act with unanimous support. Jasmine Torres, the widow of Officer Torres, sat in on the bill's hearing before the House Committee on State Personnel. This bill would extend death benefits to public safety employees, including police officers and firefighters who are en route to, engaged in, or returning from duty or training. Officer Torres was shot and killed outside his home in the Headingham neighborhood as he was heading to work. Right now, those are not considered in the line of duty deaths, so families like the Torreses cannot receive those state benefits.
We're really falling short, and I think we need to recognize that our officers are always on duty. Even when they take that badge off, they're never not a police officer, and they're going to respond to accidents, to incidents, to tragedies. They're going to respond whenever they can, whenever possible, even if they are at home and off duty.
Lawmakers showed their appreciation to the widow of Officer Torres after the hearing. She didn't want to speak on camera today, but shared this statement about the bill with WRAL. Jasmine Torres says, "Our law enforcement officers are always on duty, and Gabe was no different. In other states, this is considered an in-line-of-duty death, and NC is falling short. While we hope we never have to use it, this is a way to honor Gabe, his memory, and ensure that we fix this for the future." The bill still needs to clear one more committee hurdle. Then it will go to the floor for a full House vote here at the legislature. That's expected to happen later this month. It has bipartisan support. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Matt, thanks for that reporting. If approved, the Gabe Torres Act would be retroactive to January 1st, 2022, so Officer Torres' family would be able to receive those benefits. State leaders are proposing a new law aimed at protecting children after a WRL investigation into a case of suspected fatal child abuse. State lawmakers filed a bill Tuesday called Crystal's Law, named after 8-year-old Crystal Lane, who police say died at the hands of her grandmother, Patricia Ricks. A WRL investigation found Nash County Social Services had been alerted weeks earlier that Lane was potentially being abused, but chose not to remove the girl from her grandmother's home. That led to a state investigation into Nash DSS, which found the county department mishandled the Lane case and only correctly supervised 39% of other recent child abuse cases. The bill's bipartisan sponsors hope it could save lives. The Wake Ed Partnership is calling on the North Carolina General Assembly to pass the School Supplies Act of 2023. The measure would restore classroom supply funding to 2008 levels. In the 2008 and 9 school year, the total state set aside $87 million. That's about $60 per student. This school year, the state set aside about $47 million, only about $30 per student. Before the pandemic, North Carolina teachers reported spending on average $526 each year out of their own pockets. This year, spending has nearly doubled.
Former President Donald Trump is back in Florida following his arraignment in New York on 34 felony counts. He's renewing his attacks on the Manhattan District Attorney and the charges against him. NBC's Garrett Hake found Republicans who are rallying to his defense, even ones who voted to have him impeached.
Now a criminal defendant, former President Donald Trump rallying supporters at his Mar-a-Lago estate overnight, lashing out at both the district attorney.
The criminal is the district attorney.
And the judge presiding over the case.
I have a Trump-hating judge with a Trump-hating wife and family.
Those comments just hours after Judge Juan Merchan requested for both sides to, quote, refrain from making comments or engaging in conduct that has the potential to incite violence, create civil unrest, or jeopardize the safety or well-being of any individuals. After he was processed Tuesday, including fingerprinting, a stone-faced Mr. Trump entered the courtroom. Prosecutors say Mr. Trump's actions were part of an unlawful plan to identify and suppress negative information that could have undermined his 2016 campaign.
These are felony crimes in New York State, no matter who you are.
The DA's case centers around the accounting of hush money payments that Trump fixer turned critic Michael Cohen says he made to Stormy Daniels in 2016 on behalf of Mr. Trump to conceal an extramarital encounter, which the former president denies. Earlier this morning, one of Mr. Trump's lawyers, Joe Tacopina, downplayed the case to Savannah.
After seeing that indictment and knowing what the law is regarding federal election campaigns, I don't think we're getting close to a dread.
Trump ally House Speaker Kevin McCarthy casting the charges as purely political.
You know, it's really sad when you have different forms of justice.
Some vocal critics of Mr. Trump also questioning the case against him. Senator Mitt Romney, who voted twice to convict Mr. Trump in impeachment trials and called him unfit for office, saying the Manhattan DA stretched to reach felony criminal charges in order to fit a political agenda.
That was Garrett Hake reporting. The next in-person hearing is scheduled for December 4th. However, Trump's attorneys have vowed to do all they can to stop the case beforehand.
Right now, we want to take you back downtown, and we have standing by right now Democratic headquarters right now in Raleigh. You can see they're gathering there for this meeting that they're getting together. Tricia Cotham jumped the aisle this morning from Democratic to Republican side, and the response from the Democrats is what we are waiting on right here on the steps outside. They have gathered, they've come out, and we are waiting to that. We'll certainly take you to that as soon as that gets underway here momentarily. Meantime, Raleigh police are investigating after an NC State student was hit by a car. This happened on Avon Ferry Road in Raleigh just before 6 o'clock Monday night. The student was taken to the hospital with injuries. We're working to learn the severity and if charges will be filed. State troopers were at the intersection of I-440 and Jones-Franklin Road overnight after a motorcycle crash. State Highway Patrol says the motorcyclist was possibly on narcotics and lost control and then crashed. Troopers tell us that person is okay. It's not clear if that motorcyclist will face any charges.
Breaking right now in the WRL Live Center, we are getting our first look at warrants for the arrest of a Duke professor, Yi Yao. The 29-year-old Duke professor, here's the mugshot here. He is being charged with child sexual exploitation. He was arrested Tuesday and charged with second-degree sexual exploitation of a minor. He's being held on an $8 million bond. He has been placed on house arrest, and he's facing 15 counts of this. These warrants also confirm Homeland Security is involved in this case. WRAL News has reached out to Duke University. We're hoping for a response soon. Back to you.
All right, Brett, thanks for that. We'll take you back downtown now in Raleigh Democratic headquarters. A response to Tricia Cotham turning to the Republican side.
This morning, we are here to stand up for the people of House District 112 and the North Carolinians across the state who are fearful of what may become next with a Republican supermajority in our state legislature. Representative Cotham's decision to switch parties is a deceit of the highest order. It is a betrayal to the people of Mecklenburg County, with repercussions not only for the people of her district, but for the entire state of North Carolina. Reproductive freedoms are on the line. Our public schools are on the line. LGBTQ rights are on the line.
Yes.
Voting rights are on the line.
Yes.
Our future as a state is on the line.
Yes.
And I have to say about all of this, this is about the issues. It's not about the politics of this. It is about the issues that impact our friends, our families, our neighbors, our loved ones, the people that matter to us in this state, the state that we care about right now. It is about upholding your duty as an elected official for the positions that you ran on as an elected official. This is not about political vendettas. This is about the constituents that trusted Representative Cotham to champion their values, who are now left with little reassurance that she will do that. HD 112 is a 60% Democratic district, y'all, and they do not choose to elect a Republican.
No.
They choose to elect a Democrat. They deserve to know who they're voting for and what they're going to stand for when they're running for office and when they're put into a position of power. And that's not what Tricia Cotham has allowed the voters of 112 to do today. This is not about control or inability to welcome different ideas into a party. We've done that. For the last eons that we have done that, in the 10 years of a Republican majority in this state, we have done that. We have sat there and asked and pleaded with the Republican Party to advance issues that are important to North Carolinians. Don't tell me our party has not done that, because we have. This is about honesty and accountability to the people who elected her and to serve in their best interest. I'm from a place where honesty means something, where folks are going to take you at your word because that's what your word is good for. Your word ain't good for a hill of beans, though, if you're not going to stick to it. And the Democratic Party is the party that's going to stick to their word this year. We're going to continue to fight for people all across our state. Patricia Cotham campaigned on protecting reproductive freedoms and is now seemingly open to new abortion restrictions. She campaigned on protecting LGBTQ rights and today stood beside Congressman Dan Bishop, the father of HB2 in our state. This is dishonest and has no place in public service. But we urge her to continue to vote with the values that she has espoused for many years and stand up for the people of her district that elected her to do a job in our General Assembly. Yes. And if she can no longer represent those values, and that is why we have called on her to resign if she cannot, immediately. Resign. Because the people of 112 deserve better. They deserve representation that speaks for them and the values they represented her to, or elected her to represent. I'm really honored today to be standing up with so many North Carolinians, people from across our state who value democratic representation and leadership. But I'm also really excited to be up here with two folks from Mecklenburg County who made that drive today to stand up to Representative Cotham. Yeah. I'm proud to introduce the president of the LGBTQ Dems of Mecklenburg County, Cameron Pruitt, everybody.
Hi, I'm Cameron Pruitt. I have the honor of representing the LGBTQ Democrats of Mecklenburg County. And I gotta say, it's a disgrace when Representative Cotham used our votes, our dollars, our door knocking, and then today stands next to Congressman Dan Bishop, who is no friend of the LGBTQ community, the author of HB2 that cost us lives and jobs and talent. We cannot stand for this. Her voters deserve to know right now where she stands on abortion access in this state. Her voters deserve to know right now, will she protect trans kids or will she continue to use their sticker on her Twitter and go to places and show up? I knew there was a problem. We invited Trisha Cotham to the Human Rights Campaign dinner just a few weeks ago and she did not show up. Is this a premeditated move? How long has she known? Her voters deserve to know. As a man of faith, it is ironic to me that in the middle of Holy Week, when we are about to discuss Judas trading away people for pieces of silver, what did Trisha Cotham trade away for my community? What did she trade away for her voters? We deserve better. We will have better. Just like she voted against her voters with HB 10 just a week ago, splitting up migrant families and their communities on the backs of black and brown voters who got her power today. She has betrayed them. We deserve better. And if she can't vote with our values, she must resign.
Resign!
With reproductive justice on the line, with women's rights, with people's rights to choose on the line, it gives me great honor to introduce to you my fellow Mecklenburg citizen and the chair of the Democratic Women of North Carolina, Elizabeth Goodwin.
Thanks so much, Cameron. As he mentioned, thank you. As Cameron mentioned, my name is Elizabeth Goodwin, and I am proud to serve as the president of the Democratic Women of North Carolina. I, too, am a Charlottean and a proud Democrat. I was dismayed and disappointed, like all of my fellow Democrats, pretty upset yesterday when I learned about Trisha Cotham's decision to join ranks with the GOP. More than anything, though, I am confused by Cotham's actions. In addition to being an elected official, Trisha Cotham is a woman, a mother, a daughter, and a former educator. As such, her promises to put the interests of women, children...
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We continue our new news with this half hour, a huge story in our state political scene today, the defection of a high-profile House Democrat to the GOP, giving Republican lawmakers a veto-proof majority over Governor Roy Cooper.
In an unprecedented scene today at the state Republican Party headquarters, Representative Trisha Cotham was surrounded by GOP House and Senate members as she announced her departure from her old party. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live from the Democratic Party headquarters, where they are responding to the news we just heard from them. Laura, it was a fiery response.
It was a fiery response to a fiery speech this morning. You know, surrounded by Republican lawmakers, Trisha Cotham said she changed parties because she was so poorly treated by the Democrats. She claims she was shunned, harassed, belittled, and even bullied by her colleagues in the legislature. Just 5 months ago, Representative Trisha Cotham was campaigning as the bluest of the blue, winning a Democratic primary and then her seat in a strongly Democratic district. Well, now she claims that the Democrats never wanted her to return to the legislature and that they were suspicious of her personal connections with Republican leaders, including House Speaker Tim Moore, who gave her a committee chairmanship. Cotham said there's no room for independent thought in the Democratic Party, and that's why she switched teams.
Perhaps they don't like what they can't control. It became very clear to me this was about control on day one at the legislature. They picked the wrong chick for that.
Now, when she was asked whether her positions on some culture war issues would change, like LGBTQ rights and abortion rights, Cotham would only say that she is still the same person. In the meantime, her fellow Democrats are calling on her to resign. This press conference just in the middle of breaking up right now at the Democratic Party headquarters. Leaders and advocates denounced the change as a betrayal of the Democratic voters who sent her to Raleigh. They accused her of giving the GOP a blank check to restrict abortion rights, LGBTQ, and voting rights, and they called on her to resign.
HD 112 is a 60% Democratic district, y'all. And they do not choose to elect a Republican.
No.
They choose to elect a Democrat. They deserve to know who they're voting for and what they're going to stand for when they're running for office and when they're put into a position of power. And that's not what Tricia Cotham has allowed the voters of 112 to do today.
That was Democratic Party Chairwoman Anderson Clayton. She was asked about Cotham's claims that the party discourages independent thought. And her response to that was that she would not have been elected the party's first woman chairman at 25 years old if that were the case. She's also deferred us to talk to Leader Reeves about the allegations of harassment and bullying. We are trying to sit down with him today, and we'll let you know what we've learned coming up tonight at 4 o'clock.
Laura Leslie live in downtown Raleigh for us today. Thank you, Laura.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Chatham and Hope counties. Let's begin in Chatham County, where the Transportation Advisory Committee will meet virtually to discuss improvement projects to submit to the state DOT. And they want your input. Submissions can include highway, road, bike, pedestrian, or transit projects. And people who can't attend can send in their project ideas, priorities, concerns via the Chatham County Transportation Forum. Tonight's virtual meeting starts at 6:30. And now to Hope Mills, where the branch library reopened to the public this morning. It's been closed since Friday following a sewer main break near the library. A temporary solution has been put in place to restore sewer service for the facility.
April is Financial Literacy Month. In a new CNBC Momentive survey, 58% of adults say they are now living paycheck to paycheck, including a third of people who make six figures. CNBC senior finance correspondent Sharon Epperson highlights a growing benefit some companies are offering to their employees.
Edwina Irvin was living paycheck to paycheck until she took advantage of an employee assistance program that taught her how to deal with debt.
It helped me work out a way to manage it better so that I had a balance between what I needed to pay and what I needed to live.
About 20% of employers offer non-retirement financial advice as a workplace benefit. Verizon, where Irvin works, is one of them. The focus that you have on financial benefits, how has that changed over the last couple of years?
The traditional focus on financial wellness, which was almost exclusively around the 401k, is just not sufficient anymore. Our employees are asking for help with all aspects of their financial life.
Research shows in the last year, employees who had access to financial education and tools like videos, classes, and coaching were more likely to increase savings, feel less overwhelmed by debt, and make progress toward their financial goals. Financial literacy advocate Laura Levine says providing those resources through the workplace may not reach the most vulnerable employees.
If it's an opt-in, you sometimes miss the people who need this because they're worried that if they take the course or take advantage of what's being offered, that people will judge them for what they don't know.
Irvin wishes she had learned more about budgeting and financial planning much earlier for herself and her family.
We struggled a very long time unnecessarily because we didn't have the knowledge or tools or skills to do what we would need to do to make things better.
Once she went through the employee assistance program, Irvin raised her credit score, bought a house, and now helps her parents with their finances. Sharon Epperson, CNBC Business News.
Just ahead, breaking barriers when it comes to kidney transplants, how doctors are helping those who may not qualify for the surgery.
And eat your greens. A new report shows which age group needs to step it up.
Give you this live look right now at Carolina Beach. This morning it was completely socked in with fog. Now it is cleared a bit. It looks like an August haze there coming in off the Atlantic. Folks are out there, though, as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Often patients with a high body mass index don't qualify for kidney transplants because of the higher risks and complications before and during surgery. Dee Dee Steepen explains how an innovative program at Mayo Clinic is giving patients hope by helping to break that barrier to transplant through a weight loss program.
A multidisciplinary team of Mayo Clinic transplant surgeons, nephrologists, dietitians, and endocrinologists is helping remove obesity as a barrier to kidney transplantation.
Our transplant metabolic bariatric program is very unique because it does have a team approach and is also centered on the patient.
Dr. Alexandra Kukla, a Mayo Clinic nephrologist, helped create the program, which can sometimes include bariatric surgery, the most effective and durable weight loss method.
All the team members are invested in getting the patient to the transplant. So with every follow-up visit, we not only address the weight loss and nutritional deficiencies, but we also look at the patient as a potential kidney transplant candidate.
Some patients are able to be listed for kidney transplant just 2 months after bariatric surgery. But for many, the program is offering them something they may not have had before, hope that they can receive a kidney transplant in the future.
Many of our patients have been previously rejected from the other transplant centers, so they come to us for help and for hope.
Many children between the ages of 1 and 5 are not eating enough fruits and vegetables daily. And one factor could be their own parents aren't eating them regularly, so the child is not exposed to them. Another is the child wasn't introduced to them at a young enough age, so it doesn't taste as appealing. And finally, fresh food availability could also pose a challenge for some communities.
So if they're not eating fruits and veggies, they're not getting the fiber intake that they need. And kids and adults alike do not get enough fiber. Fiber is going to help regulate the blood sugar, help with hunger and satiety, help with bowel movement patterns. So fiber is really important. Also, just simply vitamins and minerals. Also, micronutrients like zinc and other things are going to be in fruits and vegetables. So what they're missing out on is a problem.
Hyland suggests that introducing fruits and vegetables at an early age can be a really good thing. She also recommends letting kids pick what they want to try. She says it's best to avoid lecturing about how healthy a food is because a child may assume it's not going to be cake. It's not going to be tasty.
Lawmakers across the nation are banning books that contain some content that people deem inappropriate for young students. Why some parents and teachers say the bans may do more harm than good.
And get ready for the first full moon of spring when you can see the pink moon and what that name symbolizes.
Welcome back. I'm Brett Neese in the WRL Live Center. Bob Lee, the founder of Cash App, was stabbed to death in San Francisco on Tuesday. This is a picture from that scene there in San Francisco. The San Francisco Police Department said that officers responded to a stabbing around 2:30 in the morning on Tuesday. The man was taken to the hospital where he later died from his injuries and now has been identified as Bob Lee, the founder of Cash App, former chief technology officer of Square. He had been serving as the chief product officer of the cryptocurrency company Mobilecoin, a very sad loss in the tech world today. Back to you.
Free speech or harmful material, regardless of what you think about what books children should have access to, efforts to censor books are growing across a number of communities nationwide. Ted Lindner takes a look at what kinds of books and why some librarians say restricting information can be damaging.
Efforts to ban certain books from school and public libraries are heating up nationwide.
It worries me so much to see that teens don't have access to something as basic as intellectual freedom.
Many of the books under question relate to topics surrounding the LGBTQ plus community, gender, and race. Across school board meetings and town halls, those advocating for the removal say the contents are not appropriate for children and teens.
Explicit graphic novels demonstrating the sexualization of minors do not belong in the school district.
But many are being met with swift opposition.
If sixth graders are old enough to learn about heterosexual sex and heterosexual lifestyles, then they should be old enough to learn about homosexual sex and homosexual lifestyles.
This comes as data from the American Library Association says there were more than 1,200 attempts to censor books last year alone, a new record.
trust the educators that have vetted the literature in our district.
I think the books should be allowed in libraries, no matter what they're saying.
And while the issue of restricting books is getting a lot of political attention, some parents say it has nothing to do with politics.
It has to do with protecting our kids.
Many librarians, on the other hand, warn restricting access to information poses serious consequences for young people.
They are therefore missing things that may help educate them better and may help give them more insights to go out and make our community stronger.
April 24th kickstarts the beginning of National Library Week. Those against book bans say it's a great time to show support to your local libraries.
And that was Ted Lindner reporting.
Well, the first full moon of spring rises overnight, but will we be able to see it? It's called the pink moon, but it won't appear pink to our eyes. It's named after the herb moss pink, native to the eastern part of the country. It should be its usual golden color near the horizon and fade into a bright white overhead. And hopefully we're going to be able to see the moon at all because of the rain that is expected to head our way.
Yeah, we've had a couple of fun things to watch in the sky. Planets lining up, that moon, if we can see it, certainly. Right now we get to Kat Campbell in the WRO Severe Weather Center with a beautiful looking Fayetteville. There's sunshine.
There is, and we should stay partly cloudy into the afternoon. You may be able to get a good peek of the moon tonight. I don't think it'll be a clear sky, though. Fayetteville, you know, it's a nice evening out here at the WRAL Fayetteville newsroom. A nice afternoon, I should say. We have temperatures warming up. We've got plenty of sunshine. But here are the clouds that we have moving in from the west. These will continue to build in during the afternoon. A lot of cumulus clouds, though, really looking and feeling like a hot summer day. Highs today in the upper 80s again. We could come awfully close to the 90-degree mark. The other thing that you may be feeling outside, the humidity going up a little bit. We've got dew points back in the mid-60s. Not out of the question that an area could hit 90 this afternoon. I think most of us will stay in the upper 80s, though, for highs. It's definitely going to be a hotter afternoon today. 89 in Raleigh, not quite to the record of 90 that was set back in 1942, though. Our billboard here, we're going to see temperatures actually going down as we head into the end of the week, and it's all thanks to this cold front that we have moving in from the west. We have tornado watches right now, even a tornado warning just issued in Arkansas. Unfortunately, if you remember last week, Arkansas was hit really hard with the tornadoes and had some fatalities. There's just a new tornado warning that popped up there. A lot of lightning with these storms. So even aside from the tornado threat, large hail, damaging winds, and lightning, and our concern here locally is that we could see some large hail and potentially some damaging wind gusts in a few areas as we head into tomorrow, mainly during the evening. We also have the front stalling out, so this could amount to quite a bit of rain for us over the weekend. And the latest models continue to show anywhere from 1 to 3 inches of rain across our area. I will say, I think our northern counties would see the lower rainfall totals. The farther south you live, the higher the rainfall potential. The Sandhills, 3 inches possible. Chatham County as well. We could be in that 2-inch zone around Raleigh as well as Durham, and in our eastern counties, about 2 inches as well. So this is a pretty healthy dose of rain that we have on the way. It's a 40% chance as we head into tomorrow afternoon, 60% chance tomorrow evening. By Friday, 70% chance, 60% on Saturday. And with that, here comes the big temperature drop from 89 down to 59 for the high on Friday. Sunday for Easter, 65, partly cloudy. I've been looking over the new models we get in during the afternoon, and they continue to show dry weather for Easter Sunday. That's good news. A little chilly to start, 41. So if you've got an Easter egg hunt in the morning or you're headed to some sunrise worship services, make sure that you've got a jacket with you. A little chilly to start, but we should see some recovery by the afternoon. Thank goodness that at least we get one day this weekend that's looking pretty good out there.
That's good.
Better than zero. Yeah. How about this bedazzled teddy bear bag? It is Gucci's hottest new purse. Easter present, maybe.
Yes.
How much customers can expect to pay for that statement piece?
You might need to win this. Here's a look at last night's Mega Millions drawing. Numbers on your screen: 137, 45, 62, 64. Mega Ball is 4, and Mega Plier is 3. A Our teacher of the week had a change of heart in college, and it looks like she made the right choice. She's her district's teacher of the year. And WREL's Brian Schrader introduces us to a Person County educator who's making a difference in students' lives.
DeBranya Brower thought she wanted to be a nurse, but as a student at UNC Greensboro, she took a different path.
While I was there, I realized that I was running from my calling.
Brower fell in love with elementary education. She's been teaching for 8 years, and she's now working as a behavior intervention and community engagement specialist at South Elementary School in Roxboro. Brower works with teachers to develop plans for students who need some extra help.
All that hard work that they put into those students, all of the love, the care that they pour into them each day is paying off.
And Brower's hard work has paid off. She's the current Person County Schools Teacher of the Year.
It's a small county, but once you come in, you're family. And they take you under their wing, and it's just been an incredible experience. And I'm just so proud to represent Person County.
DeBranya Brower is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
And you can look at all of our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
As we wrap things up, we have a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Explosive claims by State Representative Tricia Cotham, who switched parties this morning, giving Republicans the supermajority. This morning, the Mecklenburg lawmaker laid out her reasons for abandoning the Democratic Party to join the GOP. Cotham says the Democrats tried to control her and that they lacked vision to move North Carolina forward. Today, students at Durham School of the Arts led a walkout in response to the shooting that happened in Nashville, Tennessee. Durham Public Schools administrators say while this is a student-led walkout, it is supported by the principal and staff there. State lawmakers are considering a bill named in memory of the Raleigh police officer who was killed in the mass shooting in the Headingham neighborhood. 29-year-old officer Gabe Torres was shot on his way to work that day last October. This bill would extend death benefits to public safety employees, including police officers and firefighters who are en route to, engaged in, or returning from duty or training.
Our pet of the day is a little shy, but once he gets to know you, he'll want to play with you all day. Bach is a gorgeous gray cat with light green eyes and delightfully full cheeks. He is so playful, loves to have his back scratched to relax after a game of chase. You can find him hanging out in his favorite hammock or running to you for a treat since he's very food motivated. Bach would like to go home with one of his brothers or have a fur friend waiting for him at his new home. Interested adopters can reach out to Cat Angels NC for more information. And Gucci's latest fashion accessory truly brings the bling. The line of teddy bear shaped bags are crystal encrusted. The bear's stomach is covered with a sparkly double G monogram made famous by Gucci. And if that's not enough, the bear has a gold nose, a clasp, and a chain. If you'd like one of these, it's going to cost you $43,000. The teddy bear bags cost about $43,000, and they are available on the Gucci website. So do you have $43,000?
You weren't kidding about that lottery win. You need that. Today on our news at 4, as the weather gets warmer, 5 on Your Side is breaking down the best buys for the whole month. Find out where you can find the best deals. That's later today.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update will be in 30 minutes.
Meantime, you get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Make sure you get out there and enjoy this great day.
Yeah.
It's beautiful there right now. Near record highs from here all the way to the beach.
Go to the beach.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.